Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
If you want to make your way to Daniel chapter 3, we're going to be in a few places. We're going to be in Daniel and Judges, in Luke and John. The scene is the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is there with 11 disciples. Another disciple is about to join him and betray him. Judas is about to come and betray him with a kiss. John's gospel records this. Then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. Jesus was bound. He allowed them to bind him. He was bound that we might be set free. We're going to circle around to that at the end of our time this morning. He was bound that we might be set free. Four stories. First one we're going to start is in Daniel. We're going to really read a lot of scripture this morning. Daniel tells a story about three men who face a very difficult situation. The choice they had wasn't difficult, but the consequences was. The choice they had was to bow down before a golden statue or to be thrown into a fiery furnace. The choice to bow down before gold, to worship gold or worship God, it's nothing new and we still live with it today. But the consequence is they would be burned alive. Their refusal to bow. Daniel chapter 3, beginning at verse 19, says this story unfolds. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. And the expression of his face changed. So irate, such rage, the expression of his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. Then these men, these three men, were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound. Hear that. They fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." They were bound. They fell down bound. Nothing to brace their fall. They fell down bound into the fiery furnace. And loved ones, pay attention to part of that text. It wasn't the fire that burned their cords off. If we were to continue reading the story, their clothes didn't even smell the fire. There's no smoke smell on them. It was the Son of God who loosed them in the midst of the fiery furnace. They went in bound. They came out free. Second story. It's another story about being bound, but this time it wasn't bound because of being defiant. They were bound. He was bound because of being deceived. His name is Samson. And it wasn't that he was just deceived by Delilah, but he was deceived by his own heart. I'm going to read a big portion of scripture. Here we go. It's in the book of Judges, chapter 16. The story unfolds like this. Afterward, it happened that he, Samson, loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah, and the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Entice him, Samson. Find out where his great strength lies and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. That we may bind him to afflict him. And every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver," Delilah said to Samson. "Please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you." Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." Verse 8 says, "So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings not yet dried, and she bound him with them." And verse 9 says, "Now men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room. She said to him, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches the fire." Psst, like nothing. So the secret of his strength was not known. Delilah says to Samson, "Look, you've mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with." Verse 11, "So he said to her, 'If they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man.' Therefore Delilah took new ropes, bound him with them. She said to him, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' Men were lying in wait, staying in the room. But he broke them off his arms like a thread. Delilah said to Samson, 'Until now you have mocked me, you told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with.' And he said to her, 'If you weave 7 locks of my head into the web of the loom.'" Verse 14, "She wove it tightly with the batten of the loom and said to him, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' But he woke from his sleep, pulled the batten and the web from the loom. She said to him, How can you say, 'I love you,' when your heart is not with me? You've mocked me these 3 times and not told me where your great strength lies.' It came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart, said to her, 'No razors come upon my head. I've been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I'm shaven, then my strength will leave me and I'll become weak like any other man.'" We come to the conclusion of this part of the story. Verse 18, "When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, 'Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart.' So the lords of the Philistines came to her and brought the money in their hand." They knew this was it. "Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees, called for a man, and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. And then it says, then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. She said, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' He awoke from his sleep, said, 'I'll go out as before, as other times, and I'll shake myself free.' But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Philistines took him and put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, and they bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison." Tell us a secret that we might bind him to afflict him. That's the motivation of the enemy. That we might bind him to afflict him. Then she tormented him. The enemy's purpose was to bind him to afflict him. When he was bound, he broke those bonds as a piece of yarn touches a fire, or as a thread. So easy. Broke them off. But when they cut his hair, he could not break the bonds of the enemy. I always like this part of the story to bring clarity to this. His strength was not in his hair. I personally am grateful for that. For some unknown reason. His strength was not in his hair. People, where was his strength? Well, it didn't get his hair. Loved ones, his strength was in his covenant. His strength was in his covenant. It wasn't that he had supercharged follicles. It was a covenant that was broken. And when that covenant was broken, he didn't even know the Lord had departed from him. this covenant, this binding was broken. It says that they bound him then in bronze fetters. In Scripture, bronze is a symbol of judgment, specifically judgment against sin. If we would walk through the tabernacle or the temple, we'd come to the bronze or the brass altar, the sin, the burnt offering. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 28 where it talks about how if you follow God and obey him, all these blessings will happen. If you disobey him, there's a phrase that says that the heavens will be as brass. The heavens will be as brass. It's this judgment. And they bound Samson with bronze fetters. And it says he became a grinder in the prison. Not only was Samson in the prison outside, but he was on a prison inside. Because if we would follow the story about Samson, we would discover that he never got set free. Instead of repentance, he simply wanted revenge. And when he got revenge, he died in prison. Samson was never set free. Third story. There's a woman who had been sick for 18 years. She was physically afflicted, but the cause was spiritual. That is not always the case, but that was her story. She was physically afflicted, but the cause was spiritual. Scripture says that she had a spirit of, it depends on what version you read, spirit of illness or a spirit of infirmity. And that infirmity, the word means weakness, that she lacked the strength to break free of what bound her. It's in Luke's gospel, the story unfolds. Luke's gospel, chapter 13, beginning of verse 10, says this. Now as he, Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. There it is. It's this weakness. Didn't have the strength to break free. There was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and she was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. She didn't have the strength to break free. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loose from your infirmity." He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. Immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Verse 14, the ruler of the synagogue, the Greek is, had a hissy fit. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath and said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which man ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on one of them. On them and not on the Sabbath day." And the Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it to water? You loose your animal to go get a drink." Verse 16, "So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound," and he says this, think of it, "for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath." When he said these things, his adversaries were put to shame. All the multitude rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him. I'm going to come back and talk about this in a little bit, but here's the fourth story. There's a moment when Jesus arrives too late. Sometimes I feel like that when I think about the second coming of Christ. Shouldn't you have been here by now? You see the world spinning out of control. Shouldn't have you been here by now? Two sisters said that, or something like that, to Jesus. Had you been here? Had you not been late? Had you been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You're late. Fair enough, Jesus was late, but he wasn't too late. John tells us this, John 11, 43. "Now when he had said these things, he cries out with a loud voice." See, the scene is this, they're at the tomb of Lazarus, their brother. There's a stone in front of the tomb. And he says to them, move that stone away. He doesn't move it away. He tells them, move that stone away. Move that stone away. And there's some resistance. Lord, he didn't smell that great when he was alive. There's some resistance about, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what's in there. To open that stone, Jesus said, get it out of the way. And here we are, verse 43. Now when he had said these things, instructs them to move the stone, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he, Lazarus, who had died, came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, loose him. Let him go. Three words from Jesus, Lazarus, come forth. And resurrection power, resurrection life happened in a grave, in a place of death. He who was bound was set free simply at the word of the Lord. Four stories, here we are today. Just like the three men who were thrown into the fiery furnace. Maybe that sounds a lot like you right now. Maybe your life, you feel like you're in a fiery trial. You feel like the heat has been turned up. The flames are high. Life has heated up for you. You see, they fell into this fiery furnace. And they weren't doing anything wrong. It wasn't their fault. In the sense of, it wasn't their fault in the sight of God. They were refusing to bow before the idolatry of the day. Well, it wasn't something that they did against God. Where have I sinned? They hadn't. But you might be in a fiery trial and you think this just might be the end of you. Maybe you're in a fire and you're bound with anxiety, bound by worry, bound by confusion, bound by depression, or stress, or a myriad of things. Maybe there's a financial pressure on you. You think it's going to be the end of you and you don't know what to do. Know this, that Jesus can be with you in the midst of the fire. That whatever you're facing, Jesus can be with you. It's not the fire that burns away the bonds. It was the presence of the Son of God, and Jesus' presence in your life can make all the difference. Here's the not encouraging part. He may not take you out of the fire right away. The situation may not change right away. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, I don't know. Everybody's story is different. But you can be free in the midst of the fire because of the presence of Jesus in your life. Maybe you're like Samson. Maybe somehow you're bound and the enemy is tormenting you because you have broken your covenant with God. Maybe there was a moment, a time when you said, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to serve you. I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow. And yet you look and somehow, some way, you've broken that covenant. You failed. You've been deceived. Maybe your own heart has deceived you. Scripture tells us that our own hearts are deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? And then the enemy right there, the enemy is right there to torment you and to bind you and to mock you. And you can't get out in your own strength just like Samson couldn't. And for Samson, life turned into a grind. He was a grinder in the prison. Maybe this is you, or maybe you know people like this who life is just a grind. That's what it feels like. The enemy taunts you. Loved ones, you need to get out of that. You need to get out of that sin. We need to get out of that sin because it simply ends in death. Sometimes we blame others. Sometimes we blame others and the enemy blames us. But what we need is not revenge. We need repentance. Because Jesus can set us free just like a strand of yarn that touches a fire. Just like a thread. But it's not because of your side of the covenant. It's because of his. Sean already said the scripture today. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Because of his side of the covenant, you can be set free. Maybe you've been bound by the devil so long you can't even remember what it's like to be free. Like this lady who was afflicted. If there is a spiritual bondage, there needs to be a spiritual solution. All the resources, all the medications, all the physicians, all the programs, all the treatments, as wonderful and as helpful as they may be, they will help you cope, but they won't be the cure. If it's a spiritual affliction, you need a spiritual answer. As we would see, just like this woman who had this spirit of illness. Remember what we read? In the midst of the story, Jesus stops and says, think about it. Think about it. There's this pause in the talk. Think about it. Who the enemy has bound for so long. Think about it. Shouldn't I set her free? I believe the Lord would say that very same thing. Some of us here this morning. Think about it. Shouldn't I set you free? Jesus wants to set you free. Think about it. He loves you. We sang over and over again about the love of God. Think about it. God loves you, and he wants to set you free. Scripture tells us this in the book of Acts. It says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Or in that last story, maybe you feel like you're bound hand and foot in grave clothes because something of death has touched you. Something of death has touched your life. Maybe it's the death of a loved one. Maybe it's the death of a relationship. Maybe it's the death of a dream. Maybe it's the death of the hope of your future. And you feel like you exist. You're living, but not really, because there's grave clothes that have you bound. With three simple words, Jesus can, when he said, Lazarus, come forth, he turned mourning into dancing. He turned sorrow into joy. Just at the word of the Lord, everything changed. From death to life, sorrow to joy. I believe he's standing at the doorway of your heart today for those who are living in that situation. And he would say, get that stone out of the way. Get that stone out of the way. That's our part. Lord, we are going to open, like we've opened the service, we're going to open our heart to you. Get that stone that has sealed whatever it is, that grief, that sorrow that has touched you, that death that has shaped you. Get it out of the way so the Lord can touch. And you say, but you don't know what's in there. Hold on. You don't know what's in there. I dare not open it. And yet you're on the verge of a miracle. Because he's the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday. And today. And forever. Where there was only death, you can see life. Loosed with the resurrection power to live again. In all of these things, Jesus is the one who can set us free. And if the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. All this was possible because he was bound. Ellen, would you go ahead and join me? John 18:12, I told you we were going to circle back on this. John 18:12 said, then the detachment of troops and the captain of the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. They bound Jesus. He allowed them to bind him. Could have called legions of angels. He allowed them to bind him that we might be set free. Jesus can set you free in the midst of the fire. You can walk free, whatever fiery trial, whatever fiery experience, however the heat has turned up in your life. Jesus can set you free, free from worry and anxiety, free from depression, free from the weight of that. Maybe the situation doesn't change, but everything can change on the inside. You're set free. Walk around in the furnace It's okay. The storm around you isn't the storm within you. There's peace in the midst of that storm. Maybe you failed and blown it and messed up. Scripture tells us that there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, how Samson's story could have been different if he looked for more than revenge, if he looked for repentance. Maybe you're here this morning and you just want to, maybe you didn't respond when Shauna invited us to rededicate your life, or somehow tried to respond and felt like, I'm not worthy. Well, of course we're not worthy, but neither are we worthless. Loved us so much, he gave his son. Whoever would believe, we just need to take the step. Lord, I open my heart to you. Jesus can set you free. Jesus can set you free from spiritual bondage. If it's a spiritual affliction, then you need a spiritual solution. What he did for this lady is he laid his hands on her. In a moment, I'm going to pray Jesus would lay his hands on us. That touch and with that word, it says she straightened up. Immediately, she straightened up. I don't know how long in your life things have gone sideways. The path has been crooked. This affliction has gripped you and shaped you. Immediately, Jesus can straighten things out for you. Maybe you're here and there is grief and there is sorrow that has touched your life. And I want to be careful with this. Because when you're touched with grief and sorrow, man, it goes deep. It's not just some light, come to church and get a prayer and off you go. We need more than a prayer, we need Jesus. His touch can make all the difference for your sorrow and your grief. Oh, there'll still be scars. You'll remember the scars. But miraculously, they won't hurt anymore. Not like they did. And I don't know if it just all happens at once or if it's a step and a step and a process. I don't know. But all I know is that we need Jesus to touch our griefs and our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brings us peace was laid upon him. By his stripes, we are healed. He offers us life today. Where there's only been death, you can be loosed with resurrection power to live again. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for allowing yourself to be bound by cords that we could be set free. And by faith, we declare and we believe and we trust that setting us free is not too difficult for you. Oh, Lord God, there's nothing too difficult for you. Just like a piece of yarn that touches the fire, what is it to you to set us free today? Father, for those who are in a fiery trial, I pray that you would move them from confusion to conviction. From the confusion of why is this happening? Why me? Just the unanswerable questions. God, you'd move them from why am I in this fire? Just why doesn't it end? God, you would move them from confusion to conviction that you are with them. That you would never leave them and you would never forsake them. And in the midst of the hottest moments, Jesus, you are there, and that makes all the difference. The presence of the Son of God. And they can walk in freedom. Oh, Holy Spirit, we need you in this moment. God, I pray for those here who, like Samson, have failed and fallen in sin. There's a weight of guilt and shame on them. God, we don't want to die in that prison. Instead, we look not to our own part of the covenant, but to yours, that if we confess our sin, you'll forgive us and you'll cleanse us. We're no longer bound in guilt and shame. God, I pray where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I pray for freedom all across this place right now. Those watching online, listening online, God, that there would be freedom from guilt and shame as we turn to you and say, oh Lord, cleanse us. Though our sins were as scarlet, will we be washed whiter than snow? God, for those of us who have been bound by the devil, there has been a spiritual stronghold on our life. We're just struggled and haven't been able to get free and stay free. Jesus, just like you placed your hands on this woman, I pray right now, Jesus, you would place your hands on our lives and you'd set us free. And even as this woman immediately straightened up, God, that you would set things straight in our lives by the power of your Spirit, by the blood of Jesus. Be a transforming encounter right now, oh God. Greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. Jesus, you set us free. There's power in the blood. God, and for those who are bound in grief and sadness and sorrow, oh, that touches so deep. Because that power of death has touched us, that sting, that wound is still open. God, the death of a loved one, so precious, the death of a relationship, the death of a dream, the death of hope. Life has changed and life is different. God, but where there is death, you bring life. And today we move the stone away that has sealed that sorrow in. Oh God, I pray people who are doing this right now, God, you just give them the strength to move the stone away that has somehow sealed that sorrow in, sealed the sadness, sealed the pain. And because it's been so deep, you just don't touch it. Don't touch there. And somehow feeling like you need to hold that pain because it means you love it so much. God, I pray that you'd give them grace to just move the stone at least a little. And that, Jesus, you would speak and you would call forth life. Where there was only death, that there would be life. That weeping endured for the night, and it's been a long night, but joy comes in the morning. I pray this morning there would be joy that would come. You'd turn mourning into dancing. All because you were bound, that we're set free. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.